It would have cost $350, and Bob Goldstein would not release the money over there and said that he spent an inordinate amount of time on my case, which really he didn't spend any. And the issue that I would put in front of this group is that get any information you can to the mentally ill clients, because I didn't know about client-run advocacy groups, and I found out later that if you're on conservatorship, you can contest it. You don't have to wait for it to lapse over a year. And if I had known that, I would have contested it, grabbed the money, and tried to go to San Jose. I won't get it complicated, but there is some kind of a big rigmarole if you are a mental health client here trying to go across county lines. They can make it very difficult for you to switch. I don't know why. But so that was one part. Another piece was another time that I was homeless. Both times I spent some time at River Street. I was never allowed to stay the full week that I had signed papers to stay a week, you know, there. And my agreement for my responsibilities were to get up, do my chore, leave by 8 a.m., you know, be back in the evening, and anyway, to look for housing and, of course, not use alcohol or drugs. And there was a man there, and for whatever reason, he did not like me, and he accused me of using alcohol and being exactly 1 minute late past 8 o'clock. So that gave him enough leeway to have me expelled. So I feel that there needs to be some kind of recourse for any homeless person or mentally ill homeless people, because I don't drink at all. And I said, if you want to give me a breathalyzer test, I'm happy with that. A blood level. Emmeline has done blood levels on me. It's nothing new. So you have to get that done for things like lithium Depakote and other things. It's not a big deal to me as a consumer to give a little blood in order to clear my name, you know. And then the last thing was there should be some recourse or an advocacy component tied in with people who get SSI or SSA to the SSI department, because if you stay in somebody's house like my mom, I stayed at her house for 4 days, it cost me $250 of my check. And you stay homeless until you can get first, last, and deposit to get somewhere. And if you stay at the shelter, last time I was there, they told me that after a couple of days, if the SSI people find out about it, they'll take some money from your check. $250. And that's about how much I was saving each month in order to make up the money for a new place to live. And the last thing is, any housing that you hear about, I live in special housing, and it's through Santa Cruz Community Counseling Center. And any housing you hear about, tell any mentally ill person or homeless person about, because my coordinator just stonewalled me. He wouldn't tell me that there was this housing or that it existed. And I mentioned a specific address on Van Ness Street, you know, and he wouldn't give me any information about it. And I found out later that, you know, I didn't get into this housing till maybe 4 years after that. And now I've been in for 4 years. And this program had been in town for 10 years, you know, so that's a real disappointment. I don't know what to say exactly, except that if we could have a Freedom of Information Act, sort of, and get information directly to Emmeline Cabrillo, because I was a Cabrillo student at one time during the homelessness, and I am now. Emmeline, because we go there for medications, and I can't remember what other place. I don't know, just the places where we always go. And make that monitored by homeless people, because you can give all the pamphlets in the world to people who might be staff. Oh, River Street, that's the other place. You could put a flyer that says, this exists. You know, they're worried about the glut of people that will come. Too many people will come and try to sign up. But that's no excuse for not telling people what exists. So if it could be monitored by homeless people or mental health clients, that would be good to make sure that, hey, you asked for this. Did you get a yes, a no, or a what? That's it.
Hi, I'm Becky Johnson. And the sleeping ban, certainly. This task force needs to take that up right away. ways of expanding the homeless shelter, a youth hostel, a homeless campground, a car park. I know David and I talked about this, a 12-hour-a-day car park in parking structure number 10. We could run an 80-person program there for about $65,000 a year. We need to do that, push for that right away. Also, another idea is having something similar to the farmer's market for homeless people who sell crafts and have a day that they can market the craft items that they create to create some income for them. And also another thing is the way that homeless people are treated by staff members in various organizations. There's just a lot of abuse going on. People are mistreated or we've heard some stories here. They're far too common. Some sort of oversight or a way that homeless people could come, something they could come to and have be listened to and have some advocates that could help resolve those issues. And probably retraining staff would be necessary. Some ideas.
I'm Sherry Conville, and most of what I'm concerned about has been said. A lot about the sleeping difficulties. I think we really need to address that. Things that I want to touch on that I don't think have been particularly emphasized. So Laura mentioned the downtown ordinances. I feel those are laws that are used to discriminate against homeless people on a regular basis, and they need to be reexamined and probably repealed. And I'm really clear about that. In conjunct with that, I think that we should very strongly get behind the downtown plaza idea. I think we need a park space downtown, and it's much harder to control in a park space the kind of people who can be in that space. And that's one thing we can do on behalf of homeless people, is to create a park space downtown where they would be welcome. I think there's a real need for some kind of outreach, and I don't know how we can facilitate that, but outreaching into the homeless community to encourage them to bring their concerns forward, to report on things that are happening to them, sort of in the way the CPV, the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, functions, that women who have been individually violated can actually go to that staff person and receive help. I think we need a re-education process with our law enforcement personnel about how they interface with homeless people and how they treat homeless people. And that's not every officer, but there certainly is an attitude that's very punitive and very segregated and toward homeless people generally. And the other thing I want to say is I have a difficulty with the responsibilities section of our charge. And I want to try to explain that. I've often lobbied for a managed campground here in Santa Cruz where people could have a place to camp legally. And I've seen as part of that that perhaps an exchange would be, if somebody couldn't afford to pay a little bit, that they might do a little work on behalf of the city. I see that as a responsibility exchange for a service. On the other hand, I don't think for any other oppressed group we would talk about, we want to outline for you what your responsibilities are. That is, when we want to lobby on behalf of women, we don't say these are your responsibilities. When we want to lobby on behalf of the gay and lesbian population, we don't say, and we're going to write you a pamphlet about your responsibilities. I think it's inappropriate, and I'd like to sort of see it drop from that charge. I think it's very specific to homeless people, and it comes from a set of assumptions that are discriminatory and prejudicial.
Well, my name is Dennis Ream. I'm a homeless person. I'm a vehicle dweller. But, Dennis Ream. And I see a great part of the problem being the way police are handling things. They're not doing things the way they're directed to be doing, according to what's been said at City Council. I see quite the contrary happening, because I'm out all the time. But one of the other major problems is this, the way it's handled once it does get to court. Because I've been in the court process now for 11 months on one camping ticket. And they keep kicking it around because nobody wants to take responsibility for answering anything. And I think that what there needs to be established somehow is a someone to oversee the process of handling these homeless violations that are going into the courts, because people are not being told their rights. They're being offered buy-offs. I was told, if you want to pay the ticket today, we'll only charge you 100 instead of 162. That, to me, is bribery more than anything. And I think there just needs to be some kind. The people who are handling these tickets over there, they're all being handled in traffic court. And there's nobody who's overseeing the process. Because they're infractions, it's the trade-off between a trial and having an attorney to represent you appointed to you. Although they're not jailable offenses, they try to threaten you with that through the warrant process. So actually it's a violation by the courts of their own laws. So, in fact, that's what I'm dealing with in my case right now. But the key issues are the enforcement of the ordinance as they stand, the way I see. That's about all I have to say. Most everything else was said.
And that's only a snatch of what happened at the two-hour-long Homeless Issues Task Force meeting, which, as I said, reconvenes on Monday at 5:30, probably in the Municipal Auditorium, but call 423-HUFF to get details for those of you interested in what's going on. You can also get in touch with Linda LeMaster at Housing Now, and if you want that number again, call the HUFF line, and I'll get it to you. A lot of interesting issues were raised. David Silva, as I said, was one of the members, not members of the task force, one of the people present. He pointed out that 60 households who are involved with, who are afflicted with HIV, are threatened with eviction as of January 1st. That's going to be a real serious crisis coming up right down the road, just like the welfare deformation process we've been observing and the destruction of the safety net, all kinds of stuff that's going on in the middle of a rent control fight, which unfortunately isn't even a fight yet. It's just a fight to get a matter of principle before the voters so they can say something. I spoke today to council member Christopher Crone, and I said the same thing that I've told rent control advocate and rent stabilization initiative supporter Bob LaMonica. I said, why the hell don't you go directly to the city council and get them to do something now? And, you know, Christopher Crone didn't have much to say about that. But I said, if you got Mike Rotkin agreeing with you, then that's a majority of the vote. So, I don't know. I mean, who knows? I think it's always good to have the community behind you. I'd like to see thousands of signatures for Sleeping Ban Junior, as it's called, the sleeping ban repeal that will allow sleeping in limited areas of the city. And that's a good idea. Rent control stabilization, which will put on the ballot the idea of stabilizing rents. And, you know, even the hate crime, hate-free zone initiative, which is not a, you know, mechanism for oppressing people who say the word nigger on the air, or honky for that matter, but that has to do with trying to find a way to make Santa Cruz eliminate the hate that, for example, seems to be a terminal and definite part of the sleeping ban. I mean, that's a hate crime if I ever heard one, arresting people for sleeping. I'm running out of time, or otherwise I would play you, and I'm going to play you more on Sunday when the show resumes. Our show comes on Sunday at a different time at 11 o'clock in the morning, from 11 to 1:30 in the afternoon. I invite you to join us again when the show resumes. We have another 10 minutes or so don't go away yet. But there was an episode that happened at the courthouse today, actually an account by a young African-American, middle-class African-American, actually an auto salesperson who's been in town for 10 years and who had a kind of a really shocking experience with the police. He's going to talk to you about that now, so let's hear him, and that will probably conclude the show. But if you have any questions, you certainly can still call in at 427-3772, or if you want to catch me off air, you can call me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. This is the Bathrobes Piers Broadsides Show. If you can say that fast five times, you'll get a special prize. Bathrobes Piers Broadsides on 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz.
It's August 20th, I guess. We're Thursday morning in front of the county courthouse at about 9:10. We're talking to
Louis Verinchek. And Lewis, you and, you had...
That's August 19th, folks. We may look like tomorrow's news, but we are still today.
This alarming experience in court yesterday.
Yes, I did. It was kind of weird. I went to court. I was stopped by one of the lady police officers down near the flats area, and she accused me of loitering and purchasing narcotics. So I went to court, and I had to ended up having to plea guilty to this charge in order to stay out of jail.
Really? And what court was this in?
This was in Superior Court, Santa Cruz.
Remember the name of the judge?
I went yesterday to, today was Morris, yeah.
Heather Morris?
Yeah, she's a pretty nice lady. But Salazar was yesterday, and he recommended that I see Mrs. Morris today, so I had to return.
So, you were accused, and how long ago did this happen?
This was last month.
About what time of day was this?
It was daylight out. It's probably 7:30 in the evening.
And where was this exactly?
This was almost near the levee. I was on my way to the boardwalk, just left the store.
And the store was?
I'm not sure.
It was just a little corner mom-and-pop grocery kind of store?
Right, yes, sir.
Was this like on the street next to the ocean or a few blocks away from the ocean?
It was almost near the ocean, yeah.
Okay. And what had you been doing in the store?
I purchased something to drink and then proceeded to, I was going to the
board. A bottle of whiskey, perhaps?
No. Nice, tall, cold Gatorade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the lady hit the corner and... jacked me up. She was pretty rude.
What did she say when she approached you?
She said, what are you doing here? And I explained to her that I was on my way towards the boardwalk, and instantly I was all kind of liar this and liar that. And she said, you're a liar. You're down here buying dope. And I said, no, I'm not, ma'am. And she proceeded to check my eyes, check my...
Did you consent to these searches?
Yes, I did. And I had no problems. I wasn't under the influence of anything.
You realize you don't have to consent to those kinds of searches?
Well, yeah, I have a search clause.
But you have a search clause.
Unfortunately,
that's a bummer.
I am on police.
Did she know you from before?
No, I've never seen that. I don't frequent that area.
Do you know her name, this officer?
I believe it's Maria. That's all I've heard of.
It's Maria Orozco.
Officer Orozco of the Santa Cruz Police Department. And so you felt that in order to... Well, you were charged with loitering in an area where drugs are dealt or some bullshit like
loitering with intent to purchase narcotics.
And did you have a sign that said, give me drugs on your back?
No,
Had you been shouting, please, please, I want marijuana?
She saw me for about 2 seconds walk around the corner and proceeded to jack me up.
Could you give me any indication of what probable cause or even reasonable suspicions you might have had?
Just the area. Just the area I was in, she said that that's what people
that you appear to be of African-American descent that might have had some...
I read the report, and it said that she saw a black male. Yeah, I saw that. And I really don't know. I'm confused about this.
You've been arrested. Well, you've obviously been convicted before.
Yeah.
Is it relevant for us to ask you what that conviction was for?
It was for a possession charge, yes.
Of?
Narcotics.
Narcotics. Recently or a lot?
A couple years ago.
Well, personally, I happen to think that such things are victimless crimes unless you're engaging in violence or fraud with respect to other people. That's my feeling.
Or selling to elementary school children.
Or selling to a minor.
She was saying, I'm disgusting. How could I be purchasing drugs in front of her people, in front of all the little kids and stuff? And it was just far from the truth. And
did she apologize, or did she find anything on you?
No, she was excited that day, and she wanted to get somebody, so she got me.
And how many times have you been to court on this situation?
Just once. I ended it today.
So actually, today and yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. Just I ended time. It today.
Why did your public defender urge you to plead guilty?
He didn't. He just, if I wanted it over, and I think that was probably the best thing, just
what
to get it
get?
Over with.
What kind of a time did you
30 days work.
And do you have, how long probation do you have?
I'm not sure how long my probation is. Probably 3 years.
Has it been extended from what
no.
it was?
No.
No change in the probation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you from Santa Cruz?
No, I'm not. I'm from Texas.
Well, welcome to Santa Cruz. Leaving. I can't arrive on vacation, leave on probation, as they say.
Right.
Have you found anything? Would this have happened in Texas, do you think?
I'm not sure, sir. You know, it's just unfortunately that I was just stopped for the wrong reasons and ended up a victim.
What kind of work do you do?
Me, I'm in car sales.
And are you Are you moving here, or are you just sort of business?
Here. Yeah,
you
I live here.
So you are. You're a resident.
Yeah, I've been here for.
You're not a tourist.
10 years. No.
No.
No. 10, 15.
So you're not really from Texas. You're from Santa Cruz.
Okay, you can say that.
Yeah. So you've been here 10 years.
Yeah, probably more.
I know you want to want this whole thing to go away and be gone, but of course the problem is going to be what happens tomorrow when you walk out of the store, and the police officer decides to do the same
I'm
thing.
I'm just going to recommend that I stay out of that area, and I probably recommend that to a lot of people, unless you live down there. So,
yeah.
You know.
Listen to this man. Don't go to the boardwalk. Those 3.2 million people are at risk. Don't go to the boardwalk. It's a dangerous place. You'll get jacked up by a Rosco, get false charges, and end up like this poor man.
I think we should put you on a billboard out there saying, take a lesson from me. Stay away from the beach boardwalk.
It's not the first time I've been stopped, just by walking. I don't know. I'm paranoid to even ride a bicycle in this town.
Think this is because you're wearing a suit and a tie, or does it have any relation to your skin color?
I'm not sure. I think this town has changed a lot. It used to be a little bit different, and now it's the police opening line is, hey, can I talk to you? And then they proceed with the
answer is, not unless you want to give me $1,000. That's the problem.
That's about all I have to say.
Hey, listen, I thank you very much. And please, if you hear anything else, or if anyone out there in the audience is having problems of this sort, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's a hotline for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a civil rights group concerned with homeless civil rights, but also with the civil rights of the entire community. There's also another group you can call, SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012. So Lewis, you were charged under a section that uses the word loitering. Were you, in fact, sort of hanging around, smoking a cigarette, leaning against the wall?
I think I was walking. Like I always am, just walking. And, I got the ticket. It says loitering with intent to purchase narcotics. She gave me that after she found out I was on probation and, found out that I wasn't high and I wasn't holding and I wasn't drunk. And I'm just curious to know that if the people that I was loitering with and purchasing narcotics from, did they get a ticket that said loitering with intent to sell narcotics? I don't think they did. So obviously this lady... had something in for it. She was on a mission that day, and
And that is unfortunately it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Tune in on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we will continue this ongoing saga. Thank you for listening, all you listeners, and stay tuned for the inimitable Uncle Dennis with the most disciplined show in the entire repertoire of free radio shows. We're going to go out on the tunes of Carol Denny and, for me is probably her favorite, Ready for Christmas.
Streets are cold. Jesus was Make it in the